اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك، وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك، وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة، وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة، وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك، فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي، وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي، وأقل يا غفور عثرتي. فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها، وهموم قد كشفتها، وعثرة قد أقلتها، ورحمة قد نشرتها، وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، ولم يكن له شريك في الملك، ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها، على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه، ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه، ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده، الظاهر بالكرم مجدوه، الباسط بالجود يداه، الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما، إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما وغناك عنه قديم وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إنا عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي وعندما كان من خطئي وعمدي أطمعني في أن أسألك ما ليس ما لا أستوجبه منك الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجلا مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي يا ربي إنك تدعوني فأولي عنك وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك كأن لي التطول عليك فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الإصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعدا فلا يرى وقربا فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا ظهير يعاضده قهر بعزته الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أنادي ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصي ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازي. فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني وبهجة مونقة قد أراني فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا. الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله. الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين. والحمد لله قاصم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين. الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم صل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ورسولك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم. وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم صل على علي وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا، يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به، وانصره وانتصر به، وانصره نصرا عزيزا، وافتح له فتحا يسيرا، واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك، حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخالق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله، وتذل بها النفاق وأهله، وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك، والقادة إلى سبيلك، وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا، وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المهم به شعثنا، واشعب به صدعنا، وارتق به فتقنا، وكثر به قلتنا، وأعزز به ذلتنا، وأغن به عائلنا، واقض به عن مغرمنا، واجبر به فقرنا، وسد به خلتنا، ويسر به عسرنا، وبيض به وجوهنا، وفك به أسرنا، وأنجح به طلبتنا، وأنجز به مواعيدنا، واستجب به دعوتنا، وأعطنا به سؤلنا، وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا، وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا، يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين. اشف به صدورنا، وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا، واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك، إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. انصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا، إله الحق آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا، صلواتك عليه وآله، وغيبة ولينا، وكثرة عدونا، وقلة عددنا، وشدة الفتن بنا، وتظاهر الزمان علينا. فصل على محمد وآله، وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجلوه، وبضر تكشفوه، ونصر تعزوه، وسلطان حق تظهروه، ورحمة منك تجللناها، وعافية منك تلبسناها، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقتمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We are gradually moving towards the nights of Ihya, the nights that we stay up in worship of Allah, in preparation for the night of Qadr, or as part of the process of Laylatul Qadr on the night of the 19th and then the 21st, and the last night would be the night of the 23rd. One of the topics that is good to discuss before we get there and before we get to those nights specifically, that will help our minds and hearts be prepared for that, is the idea of the Inzal of the Qur'an. Inzal of the Qur'an is the revelation of the Qur'an entirely, or in its entirety, upon the heart of the Prophet on Laylatul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. In one verse the Qur'an says, in a blessed night, on a blessed night, we revealed it entirely. The word inzal means something in its totality and its entirety. The whole thing is brought down once, in one go. As opposed to the concept of tanzil. The tanzil, they say, is the gradual process of revelation, which is the idea of the angel coming to the Prophet on particular occasions, and as it is said, to reveal a particular verse. Or the other way of understanding it is, because all of that was already given to the Prophet, it is the command of Allah for the Prophet to give that verse to the people. The Prophet already had it. There is a verse in the Holy Quran that tells the Prophet not to speak of the verses before the time has come that God has decreed for them to be given to the masses, given to the people. So there's a process that the Quran is brought down in the form of verses, or sometimes an entire chapter is revealed in one instance, in one revelation, in one time that the angel Jibra'il, Aminu Wahyillah, the one trusted by God to deliver his Qur'an, his greatest book, to the Prophet, he would come with a verse, a few verses, a whole chapter. That's called tanzil. There's a process of the entirety of the Qur'an being revealed upon the heart of the Prophet. This, the Qur'an says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. And then in Surah Al-Qadr, it says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. And then in Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. So we know that Laylatul Qadr, that the whole Qur'an was revealed upon the Holy Prophet. This happened in the month of Ramadan. And then specifically from the Holy Prophet in the Ahlul Bayt, we are told that it's on the night of the 23rd. But we are told to worship on the nights of the 19th and the 21st and the 23rd. That has to do with the other aspect of Laylatul Qadr, which is تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحِ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. All of God's decrees for the following year are brought down from the heavens to the Wali of Allah, to Khalifatullah, to God's representative on earth, the Prophet, after him the Imams. And then that process, which is where we come in terms of our dua, our supplication, to ask Allah and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the part of the amr, the part of his commands about what's going to happen in the following year that is related and relevant to us, would be one that is more pleasing to him. That's the other aspect of Laylatul Qadr. But the idea of Inzal of the Qur'an, the revelation of the Qur'an in its entirety on Laylatul Qadr, there's something about that that is important for us to know. This is the first thing to note, which is why we need to discuss it and think about it. Otherwise, there's numerous things that the Prophet experienced himself, and we don't know the date, we don't know the time. Sometimes we're told part of the experience that the Prophet had, and sometimes we're not told. We're not told of every experience that the Prophet had. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, as God's greatest creation, has had a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, parts of which are not attainable or understandable by us, that haven't been shared with us. Part of what he went through, what he saw, what he felt, what he was told by Allah, by the angels, part of that is something that we've been given. Allah was merciful to us to allow us to hear and to be told of those experiences in order that we learn for ourselves and we move in the direction of having some of those experiences. So when the Qur'an tells us that this, in the entirety of the Qur'an is revealed in one night on the Prophet, and that is Laylatul Qadr, it is evident that knowing that is beneficial to us. There's something about it that is of benefit to us. If it wasn't something beneficial for our guidance, obviously that's the aspect, not just curiosity, knowing. The knowledge that is beneficial is what God gives. Knowledge that is not beneficial for us is not beneficial for us. We're told in the sayings of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt to go after knowledge that's beneficial to us, not knowledge that is not beneficial to us. It's got to have a benefit. That benefit has to do with the purpose of the Qur'an, which is guidance, not dealing with our material lives and giving some benefit for our material lives. Guidance. What is it, now we think about this, what is it about the Inzal of the Qur'an, the revelation of the Qur'an in its entirety upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi? Why is it important for us to know? The first thing to note is that I haven't seen any verse directly explaining the why part, what we're going to try to do is to look at some of the verses that deal with that topic and see, through analyzing those verses, if we can come up with an understanding. As we made the first point based on analysis, the very fact that God mentions something in the Qur'an, that is one premise. The other premise is that God says, whatever I mention here is for your guidance. So it's mentioned, and that fact, knowing it, must have a benefit. That's analyzing, putting a couple of verses together. But otherwise, it doesn't. There's no verse that says, know that God has revealed it on this night, that's beneficial for your guidance. It's putting a couple of verses together and analyzing and coming to that conclusion. And I also have not seen a hadith explaining a why for that, or a reason. And I haven't seen any discussion from any of the ulama. So this is my understanding. I'm presenting it, inshallah, Allah guides the mind and the tongue to be able to present something that is beneficial and is pleasing to him and is based on his teachings. And wherever there's deviation from that, that he corrects and he forgives and he helps us get back on track, inshallah. Knowing that there is something called Inzal, meaning that knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a, let me call it a chunk of information, a package of information, a bundle. I don't know what word really to use, but it's something that has got different elements within it. It's a whole package. If you look at the Quran, how much information there is in it, how much guidance there is in it, all of that is revealed. There's knowing this can have a benefit. Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals things more than one time can have a benefit. He says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْمُبَارَكَةِ وَفِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَادْرِ. And then we have the other verses that talk about the tanzeel of the Qur'an, and لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. We are giving you these stories each time, and a particular event at another time, that portion of the Qur'an is revealed again. Not that, it's not that the angel comes and says, the Lord has said, O Ahmad, as his the Prophet's name is in the heavens, Ahmad. O Ahmad, tell them of this verse, verse number such and such. No, it says that the angel descends from the heaven to the earth and brings down that verse. Well, that verse was already revealed to the Prophet. He already knows it. In fact, as I said, there's another verse that says to the Prophet, don't recite what you know of the verses that haven't been revealed in the form of tanzil. But it's important that the Prophet hears God's messenger to him, the angel Jibra'il, coming and mentioning and revealing again that same verse. That is of benefit to us. These two facts are, again, analyzing, it's been told to us. If it's been told to us, then there's got to be a benefit. We haven't gotten to what the benefit is. From this point onwards, I'm entering a domain that is a little less spoken of, and again, because I think being told this information, we've got to think and analyze and come up with an understanding. It is important that we engage in that discussion. My understanding may not be correct. I'm doing my best to try to have an understanding in this regard. But it's something that's not the ordinary. It's not for a believer that is struggling with the basics. A believer who's struggling with the basics should continue to struggle with the basics and get past that, of course, not remain there. But the Qur'an tells us in different ways that that's not where we're supposed to stay. We're supposed to be ascending beyond that. We're supposed to go above that. What does above that mean? What I want to say as a prelude to the discussion on why is it important for us to know the idea of inzal and tanzil in the Qur'an, and to know that it was revealed on one night and then gradually it was revealed again. What does that have to do with us? Why are we told of that? The Prophet knows how he received it. We hear the verses. Now, whether he knew it beforehand, he didn't know. Why is it in the Qur'an that we're told that he shouldn't speak of those verses beforehand? We're told of that, okay? So as a prelude, we're saying that the Qur'an tells us in different ways that there's something above that. We can reach and attain a status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can have somewhat of an experience that is somewhat similar. Where does God tell us this in the Qur'an? In the form of the examples he mentions in the Qur'an, Dhul Qarnayn.
Dhulqarnain is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we guided him. We told him where to go, how to go, what to do, how to deal with people. This was not a prophet. It's clear Dhulqarnain is not a prophet, whoever he was. It doesn't matter who he was, this whole discussion about is he Cyrus the Great, is he not? I don't think he is. I don't believe that he is. Allama Tabatabai thinks that the research that was done that suggests he was him is sound, and therefore he agrees to that. I don't agree to that. I don't think we have enough evidence of what Cyrus the Great, as he is called, who he was, what he did exactly, that would match what the Quran says about Dhulqarnain. But there's a reason why God didn't mention a name of that sort. You call him Dhulqarnain. Well, that is important for us to understand what Dhulqarnain means, but there's a reason why God didn't say Cyrus the Great. He could have said Cyrus the Great. That name was known. There's someone there, someone that was يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذُلْقَرْنَيْنِ. He was known to the Arabs. Who he was, the Quran doesn't focus on the name. It focuses on these qualities, on these this behavior. In the description of ذُلْقَرْنَيْنِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him as not only a pious ruler, but one that was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without being a prophet. And what guidance means, the way the Quran describes it, is not the guidance of, oh, there's a book and he reads it and he thinks this is right. So we told him to do this, we told him to do that, without being a prophet. This is in the Quran. This is not questionable. Another example is the companion of Musa in the same chapter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Musa, this great prophet, this messenger of God, was told to accompany a man that God gave him knowledge. He wasn't a prophet. It's clear he wasn't a prophet. We have hadith, and the Quran is clear he's not a prophet. We also have hadith clearly saying that he's not a prophet. And yet, God gave him knowledge. It's not through a book. Musa's got the book. This man didn't learn it through that book. And it's not in the previous book, the book of Ibrahim. There isn't. No, it's specific. It's something that was given to him. The other example is the companion of Sulaiman. Sulaiman is a prophet. A prophet who rules, he's a governor, he's a ruler. He had a companion that مَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. That book of God that is unseen, that is part of the unseen of the world. This man who is not a prophet, عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. He had some partial. The same book that, according to the other verse, that the Ahlul Bayt said, this is us, the second one that I'm about to recite. وَمَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. The knowledge of the book. Those who have the knowledge of the book, the whole, the entirety of it. That's the Ahlul Bayt, salam Allah. The same book that the Ahlul Bayt know the whole of, all of, this companion of Sulaiman, who's not a prophet, مَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. And maybe if you search further, you'll find other examples as well. These were some examples that came to mind. The Quran tells us that people who are not prophets, who are not anbiya, can ascend above the ordinary and can see or hear or be given. We don't know exactly how that is. We're not told of that. This is possible. This is what the Quran tells us. This was the prelude. Now back to our discussion. If the Quran tells us Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, there's a process of inzal, there's a process of tanzil, the same book that was revealed once, the entirety of, then parts of are revealed later at times that are relevant to those teachings that create a context for people to better understand that verse, at least at the time, or for whatever other reason that we know or we don't know. If we're told of this, this has got benefits for us as guidance for us. Perhaps the reason for it is that a person who's not a prophet, who's not an imam, can have, like those examples of the Holy Quran, experiences. If they have these experiences, where are they supposed to find guidance? The companion of Musa, well, there were prophets there. That man was not trained by Prophet Musa, but there could have been times where if they needed help, then there was another prophet. They lived at the time of prophets. Dhulqarnain lived at the time where there were prophets. Perhaps some of the guidance that was needed, perhaps in some book, some prophet maybe guided them, and then whatever God wanted to guide them further was in that particular guidance that was given to them. But there were anbiya there. If a person has experiences and they know they're not prophets, they know they're not imams, they don't receive things that prophets receive as prophets, but they know that there are people, according to the Quran, that can receive something above the and beyond the ordinary, where can they look for guidance? The Quran provides guidance. The Quran provides guidance. This is one of the aspects of the Quran that we all need to be aware of. The Quran is not only a guide for an ordinary Muslim. The Quran is supposed to guide all until the day of judgment. And if anybody ascends beyond the ordinary, they need to refer to the same Quran. It is well known that Sayyid Ali Qadhi Tabatabai, may Allah bless his soul, this great man of taqwa and spirituality, they say, I don't know, I haven't checked this, it makes sense, however. Or at least for the point we're making, it's explaining the idea in a slightly different way. That he accepted students that were mujtahid. In other words, if you want to ascend above and beyond, you need to have the tools to refer to the same Quran and extract your guidance regarding what you felt, what you received, or you thought you received. Did you receive something? Did you not receive anything? How can I check if it's correct? If it isn't, is it shaitan? Is it God? How do I know? You need to have the tools to refer to the same Quran. The Quran guides the Ayatollah Bahjats, the Allama Qadhi Tabatabais, all of these. Where do they get their guidance from? The Quran guides. Of course, obviously, this isn't to say that the Quran only guides. Obviously, they were given guidance from the 12th Imam. But part of it, the Prophet said, what I leave behind me are two things, not only one. Two things. The Quran, Kitab Allah wa Itrati. For everyone, Kitab Allah wa Itrati are the guide until the day of judgment. Ma in tamassaktum bihima lan tadillu abada. If you grab a hold of both of them, you will not be misled ever. For those people, the same way that we say, and we've had sessions, that tawassul, the 12th Imam, the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, that's extremely important. That's that thiql,
The other thiql, the Prophet said, thiqlain, too weighting, too heavy items, valuable items I'm leaving behind. The Qur'an. The Qur'an is supposed to have guidance for those higher levels. What does it mean to experience seeing angels? We were told many times by teachers and speakers and different people, they got it from various sources, the number of times this was repeated. I don't know how much they understood. I don't think any of those that I heard this message from really experienced it themselves. But we were repeatedly told there are those who experience the, and they see angels. Like, what does that even mean? A person who's seeing angels, how would they know they're angels? If they think they're seeing angels and then they tell them something, and this person goes and says, yeah, this is my taklif now because I saw angels. And they start preaching to people, and the people are like, oh, he's got a big beard. He looks this, that, the other. Okay, he must be seeing. And then gradually that turns into a whole splinter group, a whole deviant group, and so on and so forth. How does a person who thinks they saw something, how do I evaluate it? How would they be able to tell what was this? How can I tell if this is divine, if it's godly, if it's something for me to take, or if it's something that I need to reject? It's shaitan, it's nafs. Where did I get that from? The Qur'an and the Ahlul Bayt. And right now our focus is the Qur'an. Other sessions we've spent on focusing on the Ahlul Bayt. The Qur'an, the verses of the Qur'an are guidance. Perhaps these people can hear, and maybe, I don't know, maybe some of you someday, maybe right now, I don't know. Ayatollah Khushvah used to always say, and may Allah bless his soul, that man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided, who was clearly under the guidance of the 12th Imam, he always said, no matter who tells you what, whatever they say has got to match the Qur'an and Hadith. Qur'an and Itrah of the Prophet. He always repeated this. Because some others preached otherwise. Some others said, no, you need to be كَالْمَيِّتْ بَيْنَ يَدَيَ الْغَسَّالِ. Oh, you're like a dead body, and the غَسَّال, the one who washes the dead body, is just pushing you around. That's how you need to be towards your teacher. Who's this teacher? A non-ma'asum. Aslul Khushfaq said, never. Never. Based on what? They don't... God didn't tell us they are the ones that whatever they say is 100% true. Every single time regarding everything and whatever they say, do, don't say, every bit of it is guidance. We don't have that about anyone except for the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. Muhammad and Al Muhammad, sallallahu alayhim ajma'in. Whatever is said by whomever, it has got to match the Quran and Hadith. If it doesn't, is rejected. You have a dream. What do I do with it? You have a dream. Well, you got to check it with the Quran. If it matches, if what you understand, if it matches Quran, Hadith, because dreams are a difficult subject. The Quran tells us, this is important, the Quran tells us, understanding dreams is a divine gift. It's a gift that God gives. وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. We just read tonight regarding Yusuf, the prophet of Allah. God gave him the ability to interpret dreams. This person who sleeps in their sleep, they have an experience, they see it in a certain way. What does this mean? Does it mean anything? When does it mean something? It looks like mumbo jumbo. I mean, it has nothing to do with this real world that when we're awake, we see. It's a completely different realm. God gives the understanding. You know, people are searching online. This guy said it means this, and they just take it. Who is that guy? Well, somebody says Imam al-Sadiq said this. Well, this requires expertise. Somebody in the 15th century after the Hijrah, right now basically, we're in the 15th century, 1442. 15th century after the hijrah of the Prophet, somebody says Imam al-Sadiq in the 2nd century said this. Well, how do we know? If Imam al-Sadiq says, of course, he knows better than prophets, better than Prophet Yusuf, he knows what the meaning of it is. But did he say that? We don't know. Something that God gives to whomever He gives. Somebody has a dream. They're wondering in it. They thought, oh, in the dream I was told to do this. Now wake up. They ask. They're like, okay, I was told to do this. Should I do it or not? Atla Khushbaq was asked many times. He said, whatever you understand from it, check it with, well, those who have the mujtahids, Quran and Hadith, those who are not mujtahids, with your marja. Look at the fatwa of your marja. Is it allowed? Is it not allowed? If it's allowed, it's okay to do it. If it's not allowed, then don't do it. But I was told in my dream. You got to check it with Quran and Hadith, your understanding of it. There's, whether I understood that dream or not, I mean, again, what I'm emphasizing on is understanding dreams is not, in most cases, it's not something that is as simple as it appears in the dream. Many times, ahlam, as the verse says, ahlam, these are true dreams. These are things that the meanings are hidden in the form that it's presented to the person. And, you know, a person has dreams. How do you check? Quran, Hadith. A person has dreams of prophets. Prophet Ibrahim was told in his dream to kill his son. That was his taklif. This great believer who is ascending towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a dream. Can I do it? Or am I supposed to do it? Am I not supposed to do it? What am I supposed to do? I want to get closer to Allah. I've been trying. Now I receive. Is this a message from God? Is it from shaitan? How do I know? Quran? The Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. Go to the Quran, refer to it. Find, is there such a thing? Is there not such a thing in the Quran? Does the Quran approve that I do send these types of messages? If I have doubts, how do I deal with doubts in that regard? We have teachings in the Quran for those people. One of the teachings is this, that God reveals something upon a person in one go. It's a package. And then gradually, when the times for each of those, the parts of it to be revealed, they will also be revealed upon the person. They will receive further messages. We hope that we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us. There's a lot of desire when people hear discussions, speeches, books about spirituality, everybody gets excited. It's intriguing. It's intriguing. And it's desirable. It's nice. I mean, hopefully because we're believers, part of it has to do with that. We like it. But be very careful. That is an arena that people start claiming things that the listener cannot verify. Because of that, there's a tendency of going astray. The path is the path we've been given for mujtahideen, Quran and Hadith. For non-mujtahids, refer to Quran and Hadith. If you don't find anything, you can't make sense of it, go to the book of fatwas of your marja and see there if what is being said is right or wrong. But we do want to ascend. We do want to, one of the things I'll repeat, I think I've said this before, we have hadith that the companions of the 12th Imam, when he arrives, when they want to know what their taklif is, they look on the back of their hand or on their hand. I heard one of the teachers, I haven't seen the hadith myself, unfortunately. I hope that I come across it because he didn't give me a reference, but he mentioned that it was in hadith and he's one of those ulama, a very substantial alim in terms of his knowledge, and one that referred and was very careful in quoting hadith. So I can trust that, although I haven't seen it, I can trust it. They look on the back of their hands, if I remember correctly, or on their hands. I'm not 100% sure on the back. They look in or their, either their palm or the back of their hand, somewhere on their hand. They look and they know what their taklif is. Trust me, this is not an Apple Watch that, you know, they receive a message on there. Some people connect this, what they hear from the past to the material developments of today, like, oh, this is what it is. No, that could be tapped into, and intelligence will be lost. These are supernatural ways of communication. They are not natural ways of communication. A person has got to reach those levels to be a companion of the 12th Imam. If we don't aspire to become of them, if we like to be a companion of the 12th Imam, but we're not willing to take or do what it takes for one to reach a status with Allah that they can experience those things, they've purified themselves. If we haven't, then there's going to be trouble in that area. There's going to be trouble in that area. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes our hands. We ask Him to guide us. He is the guide. As we read in Dua al-Iftitah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Dua al-Iftitah that He guides us لِمَا اخْتُلِفَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ بِإِذْنِكَ وَهْدِنَا بِهِ. You guide us by the right of the Imam or through him. لِمَا اخْتُلِفَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ بِإِذْنِكَ. With regards to what is disputed of the haqq, there's disputes, is this haqq or is the other haqq? When there is a dispute, different people are saying different things. Ya Allah, through the 12th Imam, guide us bi'idhnik, with your permission. And then the next line is, innaka tahdi man tasha ila siratin mustaqim. You're the one who guides. The Imam is a means through which he guides us. The Quran is a means through which God guides us. He is the one who guides. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides. And we ask Him, Ya Allah, this sinful, insignificant, worthless, poor, unfortunate person is in need of your guidance. And if you don't guide, then I will be lost. Guide us, guide me, inshallah, to whatever you know you can guide me to. I don't have any, anything that I deserve, any level I deserve. Whatever has been given is already too much. That was not deserved. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can guide beyond imagination. Let me mention this story. I think maybe you've heard it. I'm sorry I'm taking up extra time. So it's a Saturday night. By the way, we had our Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha programmed this afternoon. That's why we're not addressing that occasion. It says that we're talking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a person's hand. And we may not even expect it. Sayyid Ali Shushtari, that was the one who, according to what has been said, the first of the sages, let's call them, or urafa, that were guided by the 12th Imam, as far as we know, because he was guided through Jula, this person by the name of, or known as Jula. But that person is not really too well known to us. The first person we know is Sayyid Ali Shushtari. He was a judge in Shushtar. He had gone to Najaf. He had studied. He had become a mujtahid. He came back to Shushtar. He started taking care of his obligations as a mujtahid. Part of that is to be a judge. Let people, they bring their disputes to him. And he was continuing with that as part of his taklif. Then this Jula comes to him one night in the middle of the night, everybody is asleep. He knocks and he says, this is going to take you to hell if you continue with this. Up to that point, it was good. But if he would have continued, when the command comes to leave, and that would have led him to hell. He said, don't continue this. Go to Najaf. You need to go a different course. So he dismissed it. I'm like, what in the world? A man I don't know in the middle of the night knocking on my door and telling me this is, I'm doing my taklif. How could this be going to hell? Then a few days or a few weeks, I don't know exactly the gap, there was a case that came to him about a property that was disputed. It was said that this belongs to someone and then somebody else, and then apparently there was an orphan involved there. The evidence did not suggest, the evidence that he saw and he was supposed to judge based on his evidence, it didn't support the idea that it belonged to the orphan. So he judged, he ruled, his verdict was that it belongs to the other person that the evidence suggested. That was his taklif, the ordinary taklif of a person. Late at night, the same person comes, Jula comes to his door, knocks on the door, and tells him the same thing, and then tells him the judgment you made today was wrong. There's a chest in this particular location. In the chest, there's a letter. There's a document that shows this belongs to the orphan. And obviously, the belongings of an orphan are very important in Islam. It says, don't mess with that. So he was very disturbed by that and scared that he ruled that the belongings of an orphan be given to someone else. Of course, he had ruled based on the evidence. That's all he knew. But this man is trying to guide him further. Anyway, he goes and finds the chest and sees that, yes, it is. This was a sign shown. How would this man know that this chest exists? This was a clear sign of the unseen. It was to gain trust so that Sayyid Ali Shushtari knows this man is not ordinary. Signs were shown. He realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did Sayyid Ali, this is the point right now, the story continues, but Sayyid Ali Shushtari was doing, he was asking God for guidance, but he didn't in his wildest dreams think that the 12th Imam would send Jula to take him back to Najaf and then make him the teacher of these great people that have led all the way to our time. His wildest dreams, he didn't think. Allah is the one that guides. We may not even think things like that are possible. What we have to do is ask for dua. Another example, ask for Allah to guide. We don't know where He's going to guide, how He's going to, when. None of that. Like, we don't deserve anything, ya Allah. But whatever you know, you can give. Ayatollah Khushfakh, one of his students, which is one of my friends, I didn't hear it from the friend of mine in person. There's a documentary made, anyone can see it. It's on Iranian TV. On their website, you can find it in the archives. He said, this one period, I kept going to Ayatollah Khushfakh and I kept asking him, when you were young, how did you do this? He was trying to get to see what Ayatollah Khushfakh did that he was able to ascend. Ayatollah Khushfakh was way up there. We saw way up there. And what I mean by that is, I don't know where exactly, but I just know he was above most people that I knew. Most people I knew. Very, very high ranking. Trying to get to how. What did you do? I want to do that. That was basically, but he was wording it, when you were young, what did you do this, about this? How did you do this? How did you do that? How did you feel about this? He kept asking. He said one time, I went and I said, when you were younger, he said, look, I don't know how things happen. I just know the Ahlul Bayt took me from where I was and put me. All we can do is say, oh, Ya Allah, we're miskeen, I'm poor, I'm nothing, I don't have anything, I don't even know what to ask, I don't deserve anything. Give, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give, and He's already given, the path is there. the Quran, hadith of the Prophet, the sayings of the Prophet, the sayings of the Ahlul Bayt salamullah alayhim ajma'in. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our eyes to the truths of the Quran. He opens our eyes to the guidance of the Ahlul Bayt. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask him to make us his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all believers worldwide their hajat, especially our community here, our needs, our requests. Give us, Ya Allah, by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt, this building that we're trying to get for you. Our intentions are to purchase this property, to be able to uphold prayer and give zakat as you have commanded. Help us purchase it and help us do in it as you have commanded. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the pandemic, and to relieve, more importantly, all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. بالنبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.